for your undying love. For your undying love this morning, Lord. Thank you, God. The power of that love, Lord.
Will be stripped away. Spirit leads me on by the power of your love. And I will soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on by the power of your love.
Can we sing that chorus in just a moment? I just want to say something first before we sing it, okay? I know as we come into church this morning, we all put on our pretty faces and we look good and it's Father's Day and all that. When Betty and I were out walking the dog this morning, we crossed the bridge by Tim Hortons up by Pitt and Tollgate, and there was a female duck sitting in the grass. And I looked at it, and normally the birds would fly away or run from you or do something, but it just sat in the grass. And I said to Betty, that's unusual for a duck to be just sitting there very close to the sidewalk. So we went on our walk, and when we're coming back, and it was still there. And so I don't know about you, but animals get to me. They really hit my heart. You know, when I watch a program about animals, and, you know, there's a lost dog or a lost cat or something else. You know, the animals, they get to me. They're so defenseless, and God created them. And as I look at them, and if something is hurt, you know, something is wounded, it bothers me. You know, as we saw those raccoons, you know, a couple of weeks ago, that, you know, just it gets to you. You love them. You love God's creation. But as I was singing this song this morning, and I thought about soaring up like wings on eagles. You know, the duck waddled away when I got closer to it. Didn't run, waddled. I don't know if it's injured or not. But maybe you're here this morning and you're a little injured in your spirit. You're just not running right now. You're just not feeling the depth of what you need to feel in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a song for you. This is a moment for you that you need to claim it. You need to have that faith and say, God, I want to rise up like the wings of an eagle. Amen. I want to fly.
Yes.
God, I've been weak for too long. I've been injured for too long. I've been under the weather for too long. I've been down for too long. I've been discouraged for too long. I need to rise up today. So God, take my hand.
Yes,
lift me up on those wings of an eagle this morning.
Yes,
let me feel like I'm soaring again. Let me feel like I'm flying once more, Lord God. Let me feel the Spirit of God touching me again and prompting me and showing me and leading me on. God, let me feel that again this morning. And if that's you here this morning, reach out and touch the Lord and say, God, that's me, that's me, that's me. Admit your weakness, admit your failures, admit your shortcomings and reach out and just let God lift you this morning. Let Him lift you from the depths of your despair. Let Him lift you to that place today where you need to be in Jesus Christ. Would you do that?
Yes.
So hold me close, let your love surround me, God. Hallelujah. Oh, bring me near, God. Bring me near. Jesus, I need you.
To your side.
Side. As I wait, I'll rise. I'm rising up. Rising up. Come on, rise up. Rise up.
And I will soar with you. Your Spirit leads me on by the power of your love.
Hold me close.
Yes, soar spirit leads me on by the power of your love.
Hallelujah. Heavenly Father, I ask right now, Lord, I pray that in that moment, in that song, somebody reached out. Somebody grabbed on. Somebody held on to fly with you, Lord. God, we need that in our lives. So I just thank you, God, for every person here. Lord, maybe there's some this morning who are just on top of the clouds. They're flying with Jesus, but we know what life brings sometimes just gets us down. Thank you, Lord God, that when we get down, we've got a hope in you, that you're the lifter of the head. You're the glory and the lifter of the head. You take us to that place where we need to be. So God, I pray over every need today. I pray over every life. I pray for those who are not here this morning, whatever they're going through. Perhaps they're traveling with other family members during Father's Day. I don't know, Lord, but you just be with them. And we thank you for your presence. We thank you for your presence, Lord. You're a good Father. You're a good Father. And we thank you. We thank you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you, worship team. Praise God. You know, it's so good to have Daniel, Myra, and the kids with us. Hallelujah. The last time they were here with us, there was an incident of fractured ribs and, kind of a thing with George. George is not here. I told Daniel before that George is not here just because he came. I made sure that he identified with that because last week George let me know that they have family that asked him to go and be with them because it's Father's Day. So I wanted to make sure that Daniel knew that. You know, when Betty and I drove away from that Sunday after all the mishap of broken ribs and, you know, the blood on his hand and all that, I said to Betty, I said, I hope they come back. You know, because Daniel and Myra, maybe they thought, oh, did we cause this? And, you know, you guys didn't cause it. It was just, it was all orchestrated. There's nothing, like Andrea always said, there's nothing by coincidence. There's nothing by coincidence. And so we are so glad that you came back. Amen. And we always welcome you. You're part of this family. You're always part of this family. We love you so very much. So come on, Daniel. Bring the word of God.
Hello, can you hear me? Yes? No? Yes. So I'm so happy to be back, and it's always a pleasure to come back. And we always want to see the move of God in the church. So are you ready for the Word of God? Yes? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just come before you. I thank you, O Lord, for this beautiful day that you have given us, O God. What to be in your house is the best place that we can be. Thank you, Lord. We expect from you, and we open our hearts, our mind, to receive from you, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Happy Father's Day. Like the pastor said, we have a great Father, and we didn't give any gift to him, but he gave his only begotten Son, which is the best gift that we can ever get. So will you open your Bible in Matthew 15 and verse 21? Matthew 15, verse 21. It's a nice day. I think it's going to be hot. Finally, we're getting... And this is Canada, right? It's hot and cold, hot and cold, hot and cold. A couple of days ago, I was in a game watching Diego playing baseball, and I had to wear my winter jacket. I can't believe that. but it's like that. So are you ready for the word? Okay, so this is a story that is about a Canaanite woman. And if we, I'm going to start from verse 28, and then I'm going to go to verse 21. Is that okay? So verse 28 says, I'm going to be reading from the NIV, says this. Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith." Can you say that with me? Great faith. Great faith. Great faith. So now if you go to Hebrew, it talks about faith. And you know that chapter, the whole chapter, chapter talks about people that had great faith. Right? Are you with me? Yes. And it says, faith is the confidence that that what we hope for actually happened. This is from my Bible, the NLT. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. One more time. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. One more time. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. And then in the same chapter, verse 5, it says this, it was by faith that Enoch was taken up to heaven without dying. He disappeared because God took him. For before he was taken up, he has known as a person who pleased God. Listen to verse 6, and it is impossible to please God without faith. Can we say that again? It is impossible to please God without faith. It is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Now, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Now, in that same chapter 11, at the end says this, "For God has something better in mind for you and for me." Now, after talking about these great people of faith, he finishes the chapter. I'm talking about chapter 11, says this, "For God has something better in mind for us." That's you and me. And what is that? It's Jesus. Faith is centered in Jesus Christ. Okay, the Bible says He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So through history, there's so many people that had great faith. Great faith. So I'm going to read you a story. And I read it. I think I said it to you before. But I really, it really impacts me when I read this story. It's about George Mueller, 1800. The children are dressed and ready for school. This guy had an orphanage. Okay? And listen to this. The children are dressed and ready for school, but there is no food for them to eat. The house mother of the orphanage informed George Mueller. George asked her to take 300 children into the dining room and have them sit at the table. He thanked God for the food and waited. He didn't have the food. He didn't have anything. He had 300 children. He said, "Come to the dining room and sit down, and we're going to thank God." Now remember this, faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. And then he goes and says, he thanks God for the food and waited. Now that's faith. I don't have it. I don't see it. But I hope for that to happen. So now, He keeps saying, so I keep reading, George knew God would provide food for the children, and as he always did. Within minutes, a baker knocked at the door. "Mr. Mueller," he said, "last night I couldn't sleep. Somehow I knew that you would need bread this morning. Now I got up and baked 3 batches for you. I will bring it in." Soon there was another knock at the door. He was the milkman. His cart had broken down in front of the orphanage. The milk would spoil by the time the wheel was fixed. He asked George if he could use some free milk. George smiled to the milkman, and the milkman brought in 10 large cans of milk. It was just enough for 300 thirsty children. Now, this is a quote for George Mueller. Faith doesn't operate in the realm of the possible. There is no glory for God. This is George Mueller. There is no glory for God in that which is humanly possible. Amen. Faith begins where man's power ends. Faith begins where man's power ends. Now we go back to the story, and Jesus said to this woman, "Woman, you have great faith. Woman, you have great faith." Now, in the through the Bible, Jesus so many times, he said to the disciples, "You little faith. You have little faith." Now, if you go to the Bible, there's only 2 times that Jesus said, "You have great faith." Okay, this is the second time. Now, I want to see why he says this to this woman. Because I want to, when I go to heaven, when I see Jesus face to face, I want him to tell me, "You had great faith." And I'm sure you do. I don't want him to tell me, "You little faith. You little faith." No, I want him to tell me you have great faith. Now we can start from verse 21. Leaving that place, I'm saying Matthew 15, verse 21. Leaving that place, Jesus withdrew to the region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, Son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terrible." Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciple came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying terribly." Crying out after us, I'm sorry. He answered, I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, It is not the right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith." And that moment, her daughter was healed. Now we see a Gentile woman that is suffering. She has pain. She's desperate. Seeing her daughter suffering, her daughter was demon-possessed. The enemy had entered her home. We don't know if she was a single mother. We don't know if she had only one child. What we know is that she have heard about a man that heals the sick, delivers the oppressed, and this man was in her town. So she comes to this man and cry out. She couldn't take it anymore. She was tired, fed up. "Enough is enough. O son of David, have mercy." Now, today, I don't have a PowerPoint, but I'm just going to be very simple. And Through this story, I'm going to give you four signs of great faith. Four signs of great faith. If you want to write it down, it's very simple, like I said, but it's going to help us to grow as a Christian. It can help you in the secular things that you do. Now, the first sign that I see is this. That's verse 22. A Canaanite woman from the vicinity came to him crying out, "Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly." The first sign is this. The first sign of great faith is this one. It's willing to fight. It's always be willing to fight. Always be ready to fight. Always. No making peace with the enemy. Her daughter couldn't fight. Her daughter couldn't fight. My friend, let's don't lose the willingness to fight. This is an army. This is a war. We always have to be ready to fight. Always. Always. And be always willing to fight. There are some people that they just don't want to fight. They see things happening, but they're not ready to fight, and they're not willing to fight. Now, you know the story. Do you know David and Goliath? Of course you know. The Philistine came to fight the Israelite. The enemy were standing on one hill, and the Israelite on another hill, with the valley between them. And then out of nowhere, a giant named Goliath comes out and said this: "This day I defy the armies of Israel. Give me a man and let us fight each other. And if I win, you all will become my slave." For 40 days he did this. Every morning and every evening, a big demon that came to bring fear, oppression, slavery, bondage, distress. Exactly what was happening to this woman. The enemy came to her household to bring destruction. Now this is my question. How many times we can relate to this? When we see the enemy that tries to enter our household. And sometimes he does enter. Because he's not a gentleman. It's not like Jesus always knocking at the door. He will enter. He will try to force his way in. He will try to come and force his way in. And sometimes he does enter. And he brings destruction. He brings a broken marriage. Marriages. Sometimes he brings that son that doesn't want to serve the Lord anymore. Maybe this is. But sometimes he does enter. So what do? Are you going to stand up and fight? Are you going to be ready to fight? Are you going to be willing to fight? Now, when Saul and the Israelites heard this big giant, or this giant, they were terrified. See, they couldn't fight. Now, remember in the story of this Canaanite woman, the daughter couldn't fight. She was doing the fight. She was doing the fight. The Bible says Saul and the Israelites, they were trembling. They were terrified. There were fear. Fear entered their heart. Oh, until a little boy with a great faith showed up. Nobody else stood up. And sometimes you will be the only one that will do the fight. Nobody else. They were afraid. And out of nowhere, this little boy, he said, "No way, Jose. Not here in my territory. No, here in my territory. I'm going to stand up and I will fight you. Amen. Mothers fighting for her husband, for her children. Father fighting for their son, fighting. Grandmothers and grandfather doing the fight. Only one little boy stood up. And sometimes you're going to be the only one doing the fighting in your household. Now, David said to the Philistine, "You come against me with sword and spear and javelin, but I come against you in the name of the Lord Almighty. Today, God will glorify and the enemy will suffer a great loss." Remember this, we are not fighting against flesh and blood. We're fighting against evil rulers, against mighty powers, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Our fight is not against flesh. We don't take a gun. We don't take our hands. We take our mouth and we cry to God. Remember when Peter, he was in prison and the Bible says the church was fighting for Peter and he was bound to two chains, and when the church started to pray, the chains broke. Amen. They were broken. Now, I don't want fame. Don't care if people know me. Just two people or two persons. God knowing me by building his kingdom, and the devil knowing me by causing damage to his kingdom. C.S. Lewis says this: "My hope is that when I die, all of hell rejoice that I am out of the fight." My hope is that when I die, all of hell rejoice that I am out of the fight. I had an uncle who was my grandfather's uncle. He was like 100 years old. And I saw him, yes, before he died, but not before he died, but I saw him a year before he died, and he was just laying on bed. But when I went to see him, he was his son was reading the Bible to him. He couldn't see, and but then I stayed there with my wife for 15-20 minutes, and I was just talking to him. The first thing he said to me, he asked me, "Are you safe?" So I say, "Yes, I'm safe." And he remembered me. He remembered who was my dad. But I remember after I got out from the room, he kept praying. He kept praying for every single grandkid that was not safe. Now, one of my cousins, he told me before he died, but as he was dying, they called the ambulance and he said, "It's time to go. I'm going home. So don't try to bring me back. Don't do anything. I'm going home." So as he was going to the ambulance, he was naming all his grandkids. That was a fighting. He was fighting. Now, and then you see how God is faithful, because one of them that I didn't think he was going to come to the Lord, he accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was just fighting for his family. Now, the first sign of a great faith is willing to fight. Always be ready to fight. And I know this is a word for somebody in this house. Always be ready and always be willing to fight. Now, the second great sign that I see, if you continue reading the story, she comes to Jesus Christ and she started crying out. And I don't think she came to Jesus, "Jesus, please help me, I'm here, help me." No, the Bible says she was crying out. Amen. She was loud. She was desperate. Okay, it's not like a quiet voice, "Jesus, I'm here." No, she was really loud. And verse 23, so she was loud, And Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciple came to him and urged him, send her away, for she keeps crying out after us. So she was loud. She was really loud. So the second great sign of faith is only listen to the voice of Jesus. Amen. Only listen to the voice of Jesus. Jesus did not answer a word. If my master, I don't hear the voice of my master, I'm staying still, keep crying out, but I'm not doing something else. See, in Acts 20, this is Paul, says this, and now compelled by the Spirit, this is Paul, the Apostle Paul, I'm going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city the Holy Spirit warns me to me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth of nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me. The task of testifying to the good news of God's grace. Now, and this is what Jesus told me. This is Paul. Jesus told me to go to Jerusalem, and I'm doing this. Now, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I'm ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said this, the Lord wills be done. Now, this is a man that only listened to the voice of Jesus. Many people around will tell you many things, but only listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. If Jesus tells you to move forward, you move. If he doesn't tell you to stop, you keep moving. If Jesus tells you to move forward, you move. If he doesn't tell you to stop, you keep moving. Even if people around you tell you to turn to the right or to the left or to stop, great intentions, but if it's not from God, that can be great obstacles. Amen. Now, there are people with great intentions, but if Jesus says, don't move, you don't move. Simple. Very simple. I experienced that when I hear the voice of people instead of listening to the voice of God, and it's really a mess. And then this, because in that time when Jesus didn't answer, that doesn't mean God doesn't listen to you. God is not listening. The Bible says there was a man named Elkanah, and he has two wives. I don't know why, but Penina and Hannah, I think one is enough. And Hannah, she didn't have any kids. She didn't have any children. And years after years, this man will go up from his city to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts with his two wives. And Hannah prayed and nothing. Now the Lord had not enabled her to have children. But see, God was silent. And that doesn't mean that God doesn't listen, because the Bible says, then you will call upon me and I will come and pray. And come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. Then you will call upon me, and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. But maybe your faith is being tested. Maybe you're calling, and there's no answer. But like I said, until you don't hear that answer clearly from Jesus, you don't move. You keep on calling. Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance. You don't know what God is doing, but He's doing something. But in this process, when Jesus doesn't answer a word, many people, they just give up. A lot of people, they just quit and give up. But you're not like that. You're not like that. Even if you don't hear the voice, you are going to keep knocking. You're going to keep knocking. Now, if we continue the story, it says this. They didn't answer, Jesus doesn't answer a word. And of course, his disciples, they are the first one to open their mouth. She doesn't get discouraged. She doesn't get discouraged. Imagine, just picture this. You're crying out to the master. She knew he was the master. She knew he was the savior. And then the people that are following this guy, this person, this savior, as soon they open their mouth, just to bring her down. Please send her away. Send her away. We don't want to hear her cry. We don't want to hear her. But she doesn't go away. She doesn't listen to these disciples. And remember, they were not perfect. But she wasn't focusing in them. She was focusing in Jesus Christ. Now, the disciples opened their mouth. Do you know people when they open their mouth? Okay. All right. So, I'm going to give you the third sign. I'm going to give you the third sign of a great faith. It's to press on. It's to keep pressing on. Smith Wigglesworth said this: the secret of spiritual success is a hunger that persists. It is an awful condition to be satisfied with one's spiritual attainment. God was and He's looking for hungry, thirsty people. Don't never be satisfied. Don't ever be satisfied. I'm just going to go away from my sermon here a little bit. But don't ever be satisfied when just coming to church once a week. God help us not to be satisfied. You always want more. Always, always looking for more. Because there's always more. There's always more. The Bible says this: keep on asking. See, she doesn't hear from Jesus Christ. She hears from these disciples that they're opening their mouth. And they're just saying what is coming from their mouth. They just say, please, yeah, God, just dismiss this girl. Even though she was rejected by the disciples, she's pressing on. The Bible says this: keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be opened to you. This is the Bible. This is the Bible. This is the Word of God. Keep on asking and you will receive. I don't see anywhere, keep on asking and the door will shut down, or the door will be shut off. No, I don't read that. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. The Bible doesn't say keep on asking and you may receive. No, and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Doesn't say keep on seeking and you may find. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door may be open. No, it will be open to you. Now, remember this story about Elkanah had two wives. One of them was Peninnah. And continue thy story, says this: whenever Hannah went up to the Lord's house, Peninnah will upset her so that she will weep and refuse to eat. Maybe, I don't know what type of joke, maybe she will say, poor you, you don't have kids. Finally, her husband, Elkanah, said to her, Hannah, why you so weep and not eat? Why are you so sad? I'm so great. I'm so amazing. Well, the Bible doesn't say that, but I'm no better to you than 10 sons. Look, you have me. You don't need any sons. This is Hannah. This is Elkanah. Now, on one occasion, after they have finished eating and drinking, Hannah got up. Now, at the time, Eli the priest was sitting in his chair by the doorpost of the Lord's temple. She was very upset, and she prayed to the Lord, and she was weeping and weeping, and she made a vow saying, "O Lord of hosts, I will, if you will look with compassion on the suffering of your female servant, remembering me, and you know, and not forgetting your servants. If you give me a male child, then I will dedicate him to the Lord all the days of his life. His hair will never be cut." And she continued praying to the Lord. Eli was watching her mouth. Now Hannah was speaking from her heart. See, it was a time before it was no answer, but that didn't stop her. She continued knocking at the door. A great faith is the one who continues pressing on. Now, Eli was watching her mouth. Now Hannah was speaking from her heart, although her lips were moving. Her voice, he couldn't hear what she was saying. Her lips was just moving. Eli therefore thought she was drunk. So he said to her, "How often do you intend to get drunk?" Another one that opened his mouth and, "Put away your wine. Put away your wine." Now, you picture the story. She was just crying to the Lord, but Hannah was just pressing on. Pressing on. No answer, no answer, but that didn't stop her. She just continued. Pressing on. Now, let me ask you, are you pressing on? Are you pressing on? I mean, even when you hear people saying, no, it's impossible. No, you cannot make it. It is impossible. But you will answer back then, well, yes, it is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. Amen. Keep pressing on because you have a great God that says this. Keep on knocking. Keep on asking. Keep on asking and you will receive. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. This is a word for you, my people. Keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. And the last great sign is this one. It's a humble heart. Amen. Now you continue. And he answered. Now when Jesus opened his mouth, he was this. He opened his mouth just to say, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. Once again, she's pressing on. She's not willing to let go. "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. Oh, and then 26, he replies, "It is not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs." Two things that I believe that Jesus is doing. And he's teaching a lesson to his disciples. says, why are you rejecting a woman? Remember the Gentiles, they used to call them dogs. Okay? So to me, I think he is stretching her faith, but at the same time he's teaching the disciple a lesson here. Don't come with that attitude. A humble heart will always get from God. Amen. Now, when he said this, it's not right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs. She could have turned to Jesus and said, who are you? I thought you were the Messiah. I thought you were the Savior. Who are you to call me a dog? Who are you? Now, but Jesus, that moment, stretching her faith, teaching the disciples a lesson. By the way, you never put somebody down. Never. Because God will give to anyone who calls upon his name. Now, the disciples are sent her away. Now the master is telling her, I just came for the children of Israel, and I, you know what? It's a right to take the children's bread and toss it to the dogs? Will you be offended if you get that answer from Jesus Christ? Will you be offended? It's a question that I ask myself. Like, let's see if I'm calling up to God, and God uses, yeah, but you're a dog. I mean, I think I will be offended. But we go to the Bible and says this, God opposes the proud but shows favor to the humble. He's stretching her faith. Amen. He's stretching her faith. Now, she doesn't get offended. She doesn't get offended. Now, going back to the story of Hannah, when Eli comes and said to her, are you drunk? See? She could have got up and said, who are you? How dare you to tell me that if I'm, or to ask me if I'm drunk? No. She said this, but Hannah replied, this is what she said, that's not the way it is, my Lord. I am under a great deal of stress. I have drunk neither wine nor beer. Rather, I have poured out my soul to the Lord. Don't consider your servant a wicked woman, for until now I have spoken from my deep pain and anguish. Eli replied, go in peace, and may God of Israel grant the request that you have asked for. She said, may I, your servant, find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and got something to eat. Her face no longer looked sad. She had a humble heart. Humble heart. Four signs. Very simple signs. The first one, always be ready to fight. Always. The second, always. Always, always listen to the voice of Jesus Christ. There's a lot of people that I want to tell you. It can be a great advice, but if it's not coming from God, reject it. Amen. This third sign is to keep pressing on, even though people around you may say it won't work, it's not working, it's impossible. It is impossible what you're doing. But always keep pressing on. Amen. Now, the last one is to have a humble heart. The story continues about Hannah. She, and you know how it ends up. She had a baby. Not just one, but she had more. And it says the Lord remembered her. And after some time, Hannah became pregnant and gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, one of the greatest prophets. She answers to Jesus Christ, "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table." Even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. I'm going to tell you this. There's a lot of power in the small crumbs as there is in the whole loaf of bread. Yes, a word from Jesus Christ will save your marriage. Yes, a word from Jesus Christ will save that son or daughter that is not serving the Lord. Yes, a word that is taken. An only verse from the Bible will give you hope. Only a verse. Only a verse will encourage you to keep going. Only a verse is only takes a verse. Only a verse. Amen. To save you. Only a verse. There's a lot of power in the small crumbs as there is in the whole loaf of bread. Amen. Now, Smith Wigglesworth, I'm just going to call my wife. We're going to do a little fight this morning. I'm sure you hear about faith, and we talk about faith. And you know what? It's just God has to reveal that to you, or it's a personal relationship. And today, I know maybe you've been asking God for how long? I don't know how long you've been asking God for something to happen, or something, or you need an answer from God. Well, this is the time. Let's put this in practice. I believe God will talk to you today. I believe God will answer you. I believe God will open that door that you're waiting for. I believe that. Smith Wigglesworth says, "The great faith is the product of great fight. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests. Great triumph can only come out of great trials." Look, I have a word. As I was praying, I said, "Just give me a word of encouragement to the church." I believe it's coming from God. It says this: "People of Cornwall Pentecostal Church, tell them, I want my people to get up and fight. Enough is enough. Walk by faith, not by sight. Start moving forward. I will be with you. My house shall be called a house of prayer. This is where you will do your fight. Be united in the Spirit. Don't give up." I asked my wife to sing "Don't Pass Me By." And you know what? Let's just cry. And I know, let's be like this woman. I want to start walking more and more in the supernatural. And like I said, our fight is when we open our mouth to cry to God. And we know the Bible says we can come to Him with boldness. Jesus paid the price already. And He is the door to the Father. I don't know what you're going through right now. I don't know, but I just spoke to you. I just told you what the Bible says about faith. We have to start believing, and believing. I'd rather, I heard a pastor and he said this, I'd rather die and meet God, and he says this to me, "Wow, you had too much faith." Then he said to me, "You had little faith." Cornwall Pentecostal Church, I'm telling you, start believing. There's a whole city that needs to be safe. And there's so many people that will say, no, everybody will be safe. No, but I'm just telling you the heart of God. If I read the Bible says God wants everybody to come and to be safe. I don't know if you have a son or a daughter. What's your situation? But let's do like this woman, the Canaanite. Let's fight for those ones that cannot fight for themselves. There's a whole city, this city, there's so many people. Will you say there's a lot of lost people? Yes, will you say in this city? When I moved here, when I first moved here, I didn't see any teenagers. But there's a lot of teenagers. And some of them, they are lost. This is the church. Will you fight? You know, maybe you are going to be the only one fighting. I don't know what, like I said, I don't know what's going on in your household. Maybe it's you, the only one who's fighting for your kids, nobody else. But this woman, she fought. And verse 28 says this, "Then Jesus said to her, 'Woman, you have great faith. Your request is granted.' And her daughter was healed at that moment." There's so many people that need healing. I'm telling you, just continue pressing on with a humble heart. So will you do a little fight? And remember this, the Bible says, and you know this, and I already mentioned this, we don't fight against flesh and blood. Going back to Peter, you can read the story. Peter was in prison. He was bonded with two chains. The church, they didn't go and demonstrate. The church didn't go for a strike. They just went to a house and started praying. And a miracle happened. It's very simple. I mean, like, it's just black and white. I don't see, some people, they're just trying to go and start looking for some, it's just very simple. People start to looking for some, how can I do this? No, it's very simple. Our fight is, it's not against flesh, against blood, it's against evil spirits, evil rulers. The only way we fight that is just crying out to God, and he will do the rest. Very simple. But a lot of people complicate this. Great faith. Now let me ask you, do you want to have a great faith? I just give you four signs that I see in this story. So would you join me? Let's do a fight. We don't need to go out. We don't need to start using guns. No hands. Just your mouth. Just cry out. Like I said, I don't know what you're going through, but God is here. God is going to answer your prayer. God is going to open doors. God is going to open doors today. God is going to break chains today. You are here and you can be the only one fighting.
Hallelujah.
Hey, don't be quiet. Just cry out. Just cry out. Just cry out. Oh God, I am here. I am here, oh God. We cry out, oh God. Oh God, we start fighting, oh Lord. Oh God, have mercy, oh God, have mercy, oh Lord. Son of David, have mercy. Oh, Son of David, have mercy. Hear my humble cry, oh God. Oh God, don't pass me by, oh God, don't pass me by, oh Lord.
Come and touch your people, Father. Come, oh God. Come in the Holy Spirit to come, oh God. And come and touch, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
That they confess with their mouth that you are the Lord of Lords and that you are the King of Kings. We praise you, Lord. We praise your holy name. We ask this in your mighty name, Lord. We ask this in your name. Amen. Father, we ask you today, oh God, to break down walls, oh God. Break down walls in the name of Jesus. Break down differences in the name of Jesus. Father, we ask you, break down chain in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray for a spirit of unity, oh God. A unity that we come together in the name of Jesus. Unity to come and pray, oh God, in your house, oh God, to bring down the enemy in Jesus' name. We thank you. We thank you, Father. You're a God. You're a God, a holy God. You're a God of the impossible, Lord. Father, I pray you put our eyes on you and not on situation. In Jesus' name we pray.
Cry out.
Oh, I love you, Lord. Please, Lord, show us how to take authority in your name. You are the one who can answer every prayer, but you ask us to take authority in your name. In the name of Jesus, we take authority on the devil and we bind him in your name, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
By your blood, we have been healed. But not only physical, Lord, it is also spiritual. That spiritual battle that we are presently fighting for, Lord, you have already given us the victory. The victory on Calvary is ours. And Lord, we claim it. Whatever bondage there is, we take the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior, and we claim the victory. The devil has no ground in this place. Because we are victorious in the precious name of Jesus, not by our own might, but that he who lives within us is greater than he that is in the world. Amen.
As I mentioned, the story of my uncle, as he was dying, he was fighting for his family, for his grandkids. And I said, and this mother, the Canaanite woman, she was fighting for her daughter. And you know what? Her daughter was healed. And there's so many people out here that they have sons and daughters that grew up in church. And for some reason, they're sick. But God can heal them. And I'm talking about not physically, I'm talking about spiritually. If they're away from the Lord, I mean, just cry out. Let's take 5 minutes. As my wife sings, "Don't Pass Me By," let's take 5 minutes. 5 minutes. And cry for those sons and daughters that they will return home. That they will come and sit here serving the Lord. Will you take 5 minutes? Just cry out for your... It doesn't have to be your daughter or son, but a grandkid. Even... You may say, "I don't have a grandkid, I don't have son, daughters." Oh, cry for your sister, brother. "I don't have brothers, I don't have sister." Okay, cry for your neighbor. But cry for something. Yes, would you do that? We cry out, oh God. We cry out for that son or daughter that is away, oh God. Bring her back. Bring him back, oh God. Oh God, have mercy, oh Lord. Have mercy, oh Lord. We cry out, oh God.
Savior, hear my humble cry.
Keep crying out for your family.
Pass me by.
Cry out for that daughter, that son that is not serving, oh God.
going to ask Jackie to lead us in prayer and to fight for those sons and daughters, those family members that are not serving God, that God will have mercy on them, that we will call upon Jesus and say, Jesus, have mercy.
Jesus Christ, I know exactly everyone that's got a family and they're not born again. I am one of them. Lord God, I ask you through the blood of Jesus Christ that you will touch each and every one by your precious. Oh, pray God, we praise you, we glorify you, because Lord, we don't have to beg you. You are always right here. You hear our call. Most of all, you hear our heart. Lord God, it's only today, but we pray so many times a day. But Lord, I'll never give up. I'll never give up. And I rebuke you, Satan. Get out of our house. You've got no business. We're born again. We're bought by the word of the Lamb. And we are more than conquerors. In Jesus' name, amen.
Hallelujah. 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 I'm going to call the band, and we're going to finish with a song. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah.
This is how I fight my battles. Not with guns, but crying out to God. Crying out to Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. So this is how I fight. This is how we fight. Fight. Praising the Lord, worshiping Him, and crying out. It may seem that the door is locked, but God is so powerful that He's gonna unlock it. It may seem that terrible disease has no cure, but God is a doctor. And God is here, and God can hear you. We go by what God says, not by the government, just by what God says. I'm so blessed. We are so blessed. And I know we're going to hear testimonies about God, what God is doing in our families. Let's be united. Let's pray for the families. Let's pray for the children that are being, like Jackie told me, that are being separated in the United States with the new law that the immigrants that are trying to cross. Let's pray for those children. Let's pray for the families. And this is how we fight. God, I thank you for your word. I thank you and help us to increase our faith. Increase my faith, oh God. Increase our faith. We want to see great things happening around us. We want to start walking in the supernatural. Increase our faith, oh God. I want to see mountains being moved. God, we want to see people being transformed in this city. God, increase our faith. As you increase our faith, oh God, we start moving forward. In the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Cornwall Pentecostal Church, somebody said to me this, and I'm going to say it to you. You keep moving, or you start moving. God will close doors and He will open doors. But you have to start moving. I'm going to close with this. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show His favor and give you His peace. Now, verse 27 says this. That's Numbers 6 from 24 to 27. I'm going to repeat that again. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show you His favor and give you His peace. Now, that finished saying this in verse 27. Whenever Aaron and his son bless the people of Israel, listen to the heart of God. In my name, I myself will be bless them. I myself will bless them. So anytime a pastor, a preacher give you these words, God says, in my name, I myself will bless them. That's the heart of God. That is the heart of God. God doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. One more time, just receive this word. May the Lord bless you and protect you. May the Lord smile on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord show His favor and give you His peace. In the name of Jesus, amen.